Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
We were having this conversation, Tremaine and I, earlier, and we had it during our little connect huddle today. So I'm going to share a message before the message. So today in church, you get a chance to hear two messages. And this first message is short, but I feel like I really have a need to share it. There is, and I have to preface it with this, if you're listening to this recording or you're here in the sanctuary right now and you shared with me personally anything that I'm about to share, please note that I am not sharing this because you shared it with me. I'm sharing this because I feel like the Spirit of God really hit me this morning in a way that was almost very disturbing, and I need to share what I'm going to share, okay? And so Tremaine and I was talking earlier. Have you ever heard someone say this phrase, "You don't have to go to church"? I would ask, have you ever said that? Right? I can get close to God all by myself. There's no need for me to go to church. Have you ever heard someone say this? "The closer that I get to God, the more challenges come in my life, so therefore I'm going to just kind of hang back a little bit." Or maybe the first part you've heard that. The closer, every time I get serious about my relationship with God, it feels as if challenges, more challenges come in my life. And based upon that statement or that belief, right, a person will make a decision whether or not they're going to continue to press into a closer relationship with God. And I just want to talk real briefly from Scripture, looking at Jesus' life, about those two different things, going to church and challenges. Amen? Y'all ready? So Luke chapter 4, just reading this. Look at me. I got a physical Bible I'm reading from. Ain't that like, oh, my Lord, thank you. She said, I'm so proud of you. It's not up on the screen. You can pull it up on your phone if you want to. But Luke 4, and I'm not going to read all of it because it's a pretty extensive scripture, but I just want to look at, if I'll say this to you. You may have heard me say this before. If you are ever confused about anything in your life as a believer, look at Jesus. If you ever read something in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you're kind of like, that just don't make sense. I don't believe God would do something like that. Or why would they? Just look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at how Jesus lived his life on this earth. Always, always look at Jesus. More than you look at anyone else, look to Jesus. Amen? I hear people saying, my pastor said, and, you know, my bishop said, or my elder said, or my mom said. What did Jesus say? What did the word say? Do you realize that people can catch on to slogans and think that that's gospel, and it not even be in the word? Because somebody said it, and now we say, well, you know, the Lord will never put more on you than you can bear. That it's not written in scripture like that. Amen? Some of y'all are like, really? I thought that was in 1 Corinthians chapter. Luke 4 says this. So this is after Jesus got baptized. Verse 1. Please listen to this. When Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in or by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus gets baptized, and now he's full of the Holy Spirit. And guess what the Holy Spirit is about to do? Verse 2. It led him into the wilderness. It says, for 40 days, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he was tempted, tried, tested exceedingly by the devil. So it's like for us today, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I got baptized, and I put it all over Facebook. I got baptized. And next, not even the next day, the same day, I find myself being tested, tempted, and tried exceedingly. Not by my family. I ain't even make it to work on Monday, so not by my job, by the devil. Now, here's the part. Wouldn't that make sense? You just stood up and said, I'm all in. We were on this sermon series for some time talking about I'm all in. You just stood up and said, I'm all in. Like, I'm giving my entire life to Jesus Christ. And the moment that you get your baptism certificate and you, like, take pictures with people and you're on Facebook, and the moment the enemy steps up and says, you for real about this? You think I'm going to just let you walk around here and tell everybody in the world that you now belong to Jesus Christ? And I'm not going to come at you? But here is the key. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into a place where he would be tempted, tried exceedingly by the devil. Why would God allow you to go through something that he didn't think you can come out of? And so if you're here today and you raise your hand and you say, God, I'm all in. Or Lord, I'm going to try this thing called church again. Or it's a new year. Whatever it is that you have exclaimed and said that you're going to do. And you are feeling the pressure. You're feeling the temptation. You're feeling the frustration. You're feeling the trials. Please, God knew that you were going to run into this. But he inspired you anyway to go all in. Amen? So, if you are experiencing challenges right now, can I say this? And you raise your hand to say, I'm going all in with God. You are right where God wants you to be. But what tends to happen is we step on the gas. We arrive to a location. It's not what we thought it was going to be. And you know what we do? We put that car in reverse. And we back on up. And God is saying to us today, I think last week I said it, don't give up. Don't back up. Do not back up. If you say yes, keep saying yes. Amen? But brother man, you don't know how hard it is. God knows. But pastor, you know, God knows. And for the person right now, You haven't hit that place yet. When it comes, and it will come, and this is, you know, sometimes you say, Lord, life in God is almost like you're just floating around in clouds. It's like, woo, until I go to heaven. You will have trials. You will have tests. The enemy will come your way. But that is a reminder that you are going in the right direction. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. If it was easy, every church in Delaware would be overflowing. Why is it that people are not saying, I'm doing this and I'm not turning back? Because the moment we feel a little bit of pressure, we back up. Y'all know that beeping sound of those trucks when they back up? That's how we get. You going? I'm going. You going all in? I'm going all in. Is this your year to be deep with God? This is my year to be deep with God. I got, how many Bibles you got? I got 10 Bibles. And I'm just reading, and I'm a serving the church, all that. And then all of a sudden we get hit, and we're like, boop, 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 boop. And we back up because we're feeling the pressure. And I want to say this directly to us. If Jesus was tempted and tested exceedingly by the devil, who do we think we are that the enemy is not going to come our way? And I'm not going to read all the temptations. You get a chance to read it. Luke 4, it's in the other gospels as well. The enemy tried to get Jesus to do all these different things to get him off course. And then you go down a little bit lower, and it says, and then, so Jesus kept coming back. It is written. He kept speaking a word. And then it says, and then the devil left him until another opportune time. And so that means that the enemy was like, you know what? All right, you won this one. But in the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator, come on, y'all got to say this with me. I'll be back. And he did, right? Here's the part of going to church. So then later on in Luke, it says that Jesus went to the synagogue. And it says, as was his custom. So can I say this? If Jesus, the Son of God, y'all probably can finish this for me, went to church, who are we to think that we don't need to go to church? The synagogue or the temple today is considered the gathering of the saints coming together so that they can hear the word. And in fact, Jesus stands up and he opens up the book of Isaiah and begins to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And he goes on and on about that. And then he closes the book and he said, today in your hearing is this word fulfilled. So Jesus was in church. Why do we think that we don't have to go to church? Well, that was Jesus. That was the Son of God. Aren't we believers of Jesus Christ? Christians, followers of Jesus. So whatever he did, we should do it. Amen? So Luke 4, please read that. Because every time I get serious about my walk with God, I start going through stuff. Jesus went through stuff. Jesus went through stuff. He experienced loss. He experienced people trying to kill him. And that's even before they crucified him. So if Jesus experienced life like that, and it all wasn't roses and all of that, we're going to experience it as well. Amen? So that may be for you directly, or it may be a message for you to pass on to someone else. But please, before you pass it on to someone else, make sure you receive it. Because one of the worst testimonies is when we stand up on the rooftop and say, you should come to my church. And then that person comes, and we ain't there. And we didn't even let them know that I'm out of town or I ain't feeling well. Amen. Whew. I zipped it right on up. Luke 4. Amen. So if we can bring up the Right Now Media. So some of the resources that you as a congregation now have access to is called Right Now Media. There is a flyer that's out near the Connect Center. Eventually you can scan, but if you want to scan this QR code now, it will give you access to it. There's teaching videos. There's some pretty well-known people that's out there as well. We'll be using some of it for our small groups. For even children, there's children lessons and videos that's out there. It's a lot of resources available. So Right Now Media, you actually have free access to it. All right, so the second message for today, y'all ready? Oh, man. This is like going to Sunday school. So the first one was a Sunday school lesson, and this is the preach message here. So I am doing a new thing. I praise God that our praise team, they were singing the song, and I'm grateful for you guys for singing. Praise team out loud and congregation even for singing unto the Lord as well. So we've been in this series, really it's just been two Sundays, dealing with I'm doing a new thing. And so last week we looked at this area of Isaiah 43:19 in the Amplified Classic Edition, where it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. God says, now that springs forth, do you not perceive and know it? He says, I will, and will you not give heed to it? He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so if you weren't here last week, please go to our website, purposechurchd.org, and go to sermon so that you can listen to that message from last week. So this is a call to action, and it really ties into what I just shared a little while ago. What is the call to action? Wherever we are in our walk with God, let's kick it up a notch. So the area of perceive, I believe that God is doing something in my life. In order for me to know what it is he's doing, I need to lean in and begin to observe God or inquire, what are you doing, Father, in my life? Like, why do you have me in church today and the pastor is challenging me in this area not to back up when I receive challenges in my life? Why do you have me listening to this message saying that if Jesus went to the synagogue, Jesus went to the temple, then I need to, every opportunity that I get a chance, to show up and be in church? And then the area of heed is paying attention. Now it's like, God, you have my undivided attention, and I am no longer playing around with this thing called a walk with you. And so today is a message that is really a call to action. When we spend time with God, so however it is that you spend time with God, whether it's in worship, and I love that the last song that they were singing, many times during church, whether it's a hymn, whether it's a praise song, a worship song, the reality of what we are doing is worshiping God. But if we treat the church like it is a synagogue or a temple, what we're literally doing is giving you resources that you can use Monday through Saturday to worship God as well. Because a lot of times we hear songs and we're like, I never heard that before. Well, why don't you open up your, expand your horizon a little bit? And I got this slide that's going to come up in a moment, and it's going to say this phrase, stop limiting God. Do you realize this? I'm probably about five slides ahead of myself. Do you realize that when we grew up, we had an understanding of who God is? And do you realize that some of us are still stuck in that understanding? That whoever we learn who God was in our younger ages, we still hold that understanding as adults because we have not engaged in a deeper relationship with God to understand the vastness of who He is in our life. And if we limit God, we limit who we are in Him, and we limit what we can do for Him as well. And so a lot of times when we hear things, we compare it to the God of our six-year-old self, or the God of our 12-year-old self, or the God, I say this a lot, and this may pertain to some of you, or the God that your grandmom told you about. But do you realize that God wants you to get to know Him for yourself? He wants, whatever age you are today, He wants your 47-year-old self to get to know who God is right now. But many times it's, you know, well, the God that I knew then is the God that I bring into my current. And God is saying, yes, that's great, but I need for you to grow. And God is saying to many of us, I'm bigger than who you think I am. My love is way bigger than the love that you remember. Yes, Jesus loves me. Y'all know that song? Oh, yeah. For the Bible tell me so. It tells us that God loves us. But do you realize that some of us cannot quote that John 3:16 like he did? But if I said, can y'all sing that song with me? Yes, and you'll be able to sing it. But I said, where's that at in the Bible? Hold on, bro, let me Google it. We have to know God beyond when we had to go to vacation Bible school. Do we know God right now? And that's the area where God is challenging us in it. The only way I can describe it is like God wants to shatter your understanding of who He is. And that is for many a scary place, because where am I going to go? And how far is God going to take me? Whatever, and I can say this because Purpose Church is a new church. So whatever church you're coming from, God is saying, yup, use that as a foundation, but please do not get stuck there. Amen? And sometimes it's, let me tell you, my history, I was Catholic, and then we Baptist, then we went to like a Pentecostal, And then we went back to the Baptist, and then we went to another Baptist. And if I limit my experience in God, and that's a lot, that is a lot. But if I limit God just to that, I am limiting who God has called me to be. I use that as a foundation, but I do not stop and say, yeah, I know that. I talk to people sometimes, and I'm getting ready to quote a scripture to them. They'd be like, yeah, I know that. Well, why are we talking? But do you understand it? Hold on. Beyond this, are you applying it? It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to know it. And say, God, I'm taking this word, and I'm going to live it. Amen? Woo-wee! Who invited you to church today? You're like, why'd you invite me to this church today? I didn't want to hear that. So, as we go deeper from Isaiah 43:19, we go back to Isaiah 43:1. I pray that y'all stick with me on this one here. Hear what I'm sharing. Isaiah 43:1 says this. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Listen to this. I have called you by name. Look at this part. You are mine. Praise God. Listen to this, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, this is for somebody that may be going through right now, God says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Can I say this? If you're in here today and you are going through some challenges, I'm encouraging you, grab on to this verse and believe it. That because God is with you, whatever you're going through will not overwhelm you. Because God is with you, you will not be consumed by what you're going through. You've got to believe this. Because if not, it is this. I'm just doing this to go through the motions, but I don't believe it's true. Like, I'm doing this just to kind of go through the motions, but I don't believe it for me. You know, I'm doing this just to go through the motions, but, you know, I'm going through this situation, but I don't believe that God is going to sustain me through it. I'm just riding the waves right now. But you got to believe this. Because if you don't believe verse 2, it's hard to believe verse 19 that says that God is doing something new. Because you'll say, how can God be doing something new when I'm going through hell and high waters? Amen? And sometimes, psychologically in our mind, we just lock ourselves in. And somebody can say to you, I believe that God is going to do something amazing in your life. And our minds will be stronger even than what the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to us. And we'll say, not for me. That might work for you, but not for me. Things will never change in my life. And we've heard Christians say stuff like that. And if you're here today, hold on to the fact that because God is with you, whatever you are going through will not overwhelm you. Whatever you are going through will not consume you. And you say, well, how can you say that? Because God needs you. He does not need you overwhelmed. He does not need you consumed, which means that the enemy who has come to steal, kill, and destroy has pretty much wiped you out. And you can't be a witness to anyone because I'm just so overwhelmed. Or I'm so consumed that I ain't got nothing to give. I have nothing else to give. because this circumstance has consumed me. And God is saying, I am with you. Therefore, it will not overwhelm you. It will not consume you. Amen? And I feel like there's a huge part of us that's in the midst of this. So whatever it is, Isaiah 43, 2. Lock it in, read it in your favorite translation. It says the same thing. You won't get taken out. Amen? Because God needs you. I want to jump down to some areas. I want to just kind of do like a quick little teaching thing in this moment. Right there where it says the Lord, that is Yahweh or Jehovah, which means that God is self-existent. So that means that I can depend upon God keeping me because no one else has to keep God. No one else has to remind God of who he is. He is God all by himself. So I may not be able to depend upon someone else because they're wishy-washy, but God is Jehovah. He is the Lord. No one made God. No one came up with the concept that God is God. He is God. And many times we don't even believe that. It's kind of like, you know, hopefully no one has ever overstated this, but God, I don't want to overwhelm you. He's God. I know I came to you with this situation like 10 times before, and I hope I'm not getting on your nerves. He's God. I know I asked you to pay my bills before. Hope you got a little bit more resources left. He is God. I don't know what else to do with my family. He's God. He knows what to do. So when we receive God for who he is, the Lord, it opens up our understanding that we cannot exhaust his love, his resources. He is God. And he don't need us to exist. If I don't wake up encouraged, it's not going to pull him down. He's still God. Amen? And that is who we depend upon. I love this. When Moses goes and, well, God comes to Moses, and he says, I want you to go back to Egypt and tell the people of Israel that I'm going to deliver them. And Moses asks a good question. He says, God, if I come to the people of Israel and I say to them that the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God says this, I am, can y'all finish that? Who I am. And God said, say this to the people of Israel. I am have sent me to you. I mean, so what does that mean? That God says, I am who I am. How much confidence is that? But what's your name? I am. Okay, but I know, but like, where are you from? I am. Okay, so like, do you ever wake up on the wrong side of the bed? I am. Okay, so everything that's going on in all the worlds and the nations and all that kind of stuff, like, I know it got to be bothering you. Like, God, if you're watching the news, like, that got to be getting to you. And God says, I am. The Amplified Classic says it this way. God said to Moses, I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be. So what that tells me is that regardless of what it is that I am going through in my life, it doesn't deter God from being who he is. So if we can receive that, you say, listen, God, I'm going through this situation in my life, and I'm coming to you because I need your help. And God says, I see what you're going through, but please know that the one that you're talking and praying to is the great I am. And I will be who I will be. So I can go through this with you and not be tainted by what it is that you're going through. It might confuse you. It might upset you. It might make you frustrated. But God says, nope, I am. And nothing is going to change who I am. And that is who we have a relationship with. That's who we hold on to. God, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. God said, just hold on to me. You know why? Because I am. Self-existent, self-sustaining God. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It does not matter what you're going through and how much it may try to overwhelm you. There is a God that is in your life that will not be changed. Metamorphosis or something like that, right? You know what I'm talking about? Where it's like when thank you, metamorphosis. You know, somebody, something happens and they all of a sudden change. It's like, man, I thought, and here's a great scripture when Jesus tells his disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side, and they're in the boat, and Jesus is on the mountain, and the disciples is in the midst of it, and they're crying, they think they're going to die, and all of that, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and he says, be not afraid, I am. Jesus literally says that. And then Peter walks on the water. So God is saying that I am God, I am. The self-existent one is with you in your situation, your circumstance. So don't back up. Don't leave God in church. It's almost as if I left my Bible. I forgot my Bible in church. And it's like, oh my gosh, I left God in church. Don't leave God in this moment. And this is the reason why I believe God just keeps reemphasizing this part. Like, do you know who God is? Do you have an understanding of who God is? And you're like, I don't. That's because, like, he is bigger than anything that we've ever understood. But he says, I still want to have a relationship with you. Because the more God says you get to know me, the more you will get to know yourself. Because I created you, and I called you, and I know you by name. You are mine. That's what he said, Isaiah 43:1. And so here's our challenge today. Are we limiting God? Think about that for a moment. Where does your mind go? Where does your thoughts go? When you think of the God of all creation wants to do something new, where does your thoughts go? Is it, be it unto me, Lord? Or is it, well, I'm old. I'm going back to what we talked about during Christmas. Zacharias, I'm old. And my wife old. I don't know how that's going to happen. Or Mary, be it unto me according to your word. Does your mind, does your thoughts pull you back? Or does your thoughts, even with hesitation, say, all right, by faith, I'm going to go where you want me to go, God. And for some of you, that is like actual going places. For some, it's I'm going to start reading my Bible more. For some is, I'm going to go deeper in worship. For some is, I'm going to start really praying more, God. For some is, I'm going to start connecting to groups or whatever it is. I'm going to get real serious about this. But I'm telling you, a great test is when we dismiss from here, where does our mind go? Does our mind go, okay, Lord, okay, I need to lean into this a little bit more. Like, what are you doing, and how can I get closer to you? Or does my mind go, click, that was cool. Now on to the next thing. And if your mind is shifting on to the next thing that quickly, God is saying, you're limiting me. You're limiting me to a Sunday morning experience. And God is saying, I am. Like, I don't limit me. I am greater than just a church experience. He says, I am God. And I want to be in your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want to be in every moment, every day of your life. And each day of your life, I'm just waiting for you to acknowledge me. Talk to me. And that's what God is saying to some of us. Talk to me. You don't even talk to me. You don't even acknowledge me outside of Sunday. And God is saying to some of us, come on. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to get to know me more, and I want you to get to know who you are more in me. Let this not be a Sunday morning relationship. Some of us only see each other on Sunday, right? I don't see some of you guys the rest of the week, right? We just don't cross paths. I'm human. That should not be the case with God. Amen? Nor should it be, if y'all see me in the mall, because I got a hat on and some sneakers and some jeans or something like that, and I look a little different, that you don't know who I am. But how many times does the presence of the Lord come into our space and we don't even know he's there? It's one thing for you not to recognize me, but do we not recognize when God is coming and want to sit right next to you at work and say, you should pray about that. Hey, what you doing on your lunch break? Want to read the Bible with me? Hey, turn that music off. Turn on 88.7. And listen to some worship. Hey, you should go to that men's thing they were talking about. You should come to Bible study on Zoom. And at times, God is speaking whatever it is that he is speaking to us. And you know what? We're just like, and we keep going. Don't just have a relationship with God on Sunday. If you sense that during the week, he's saying something, lean in. You talking to me, God? What is this that I think you want me to do? And then when you grab hold of that's what you think God wants you to do, whatever it is, pay attention. And say, you know what? I'm going to keep doing this on purpose, God. And when your mind says to you, every time I press into God more, it seemed like challenges come. Look up, open Luke 4, read it, and see what happened to Jesus after the enemy tested him. When the enemy backed off, and it says that he would come to him for another opportunity, it said that Jesus went forward full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's when he began to do ministry on the earth. And so maybe this thing that you may be going through is so that you can recognize who God is in your life. I believe that if it's not for at least 75% of the people in here, you know God here, and he is challenging you to get to that next level. And the test, again, as soon as you think about what it's like, what does your mind, like the Holy Spirit says, let's go deeper. And does your mind like, what'd that mean? What is that going to cost me? I ain't trying to do it. And the Holy Spirit won't give up. Come on, let's go deeper. And we've got to take sometimes our flesh and say, be quiet. We gone. And read anyway. Well, when I read, I fall asleep. Read anyway. When I pray, my mind be wandering. Pray anyway. When I worship, I don't know what they're talking about. They're too deep and all that kind of stuff. Worship anyway. Well, I don't know if I can trust these men and these women, these people in this small group. Come anyway. On Monday nights at 7 p.m., I'm ready to put the kids down and jumping on a Bible study and all that kind of stuff. Jump on the Bible study anyway. The only way we can grow in our relationship with Christ is not being comfortable It's by, I'm going to do it anyway, regardless of what my flesh is saying. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to just keep doing it. Could you imagine if Jesus was like, hold on, I just got baptized, and Holy Spirit, you want me to do what? And could you imagine the first temptations out of the three when the enemy came and Jesus was like, you know what, I ain't signed up for all this. I'm going to go on back down the mountain. He's stuck in there, and he kept coming back, but it is written, but it is written, but it is written. Because he knew on the other side of this test and the temptation was ministry for him. And for many of us on the other side of whatever it is that you are going through, it is the part of God really moving through your life in whatever way that is. And that is the reason why the enemy is so much coming up against you. He does not want you to get to the other side. But you got to do it when you don't want to. You got to read when you don't want to. You got to pray when you don't want to. You got to worship when you don't want to. Because God, if God is leading you to do that, there's something on the other side. Amen? I say this sometimes. I pray that this word is getting from here to here. And I pray that it get down to your toes so that you can just like, maybe like, Lord Jesus, what time is it? You know how you want to look at your watch, but you don't want like the preacher to see you looking at your watch? So you're kind of like, this is important for all of us. All of us. All of us. All of us. Amen? Are you challenged? And so wherever you are in your walk, God is saying, take it to another notch. God is saying it to every one of us. Where? I've been saved for 80 years, Pastor. Nobody in here is like that. But every one of us, take it to another notch in our relationship. I don't know how, Pastor. Start where you know how. Start where you know God is prompting you. Don't try to be like nobody else. Start where God is dealing with you. Amen? But how do I know, Pastor? You know why? Because the message keeps coming up. He keeps talking about it to you. He keeps talking to you about it. Grab it. Say, God, what you want me to do with it? Walk in it. Amen? Don't just date God on Sunday. Please don't. Please don't. Whatever your day is, we all got days where we want to lay aside our Christianity. Like, whatever day that is, press in more to God. But don't wait until that day. Start now.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.